This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
What's up, Deucers? Before we get started with the show today, I want to tell you about Blue Wire Hustle, a brand new program where you, that's right, you can host your very own podcast here at Blue Wire. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. And on top of that, we'll help you get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all other listening platforms. The best part is, you can get all of this for only $15 a month. And I can tell you that that's a deal from the experience of being an independent podcaster. It's the wild, wild west out there, people. Blue Wire Hustle, it's a steal at $15 a month. It's the same rate as any other hosting site would charge you, and you wouldn't get any of the other stuff. It would just be the initial setup, and then you'd be left on your own. So whether you're starting from scratch or have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to leveling up your sports podcasting experience. But here's the thing. Acceptance to the program is limited, and that's in all caps, so you know it's limited. So get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description in the description box on this episode to find out more, and I'll have a link there. But that's BW, the word hustle, .com/join. Welcome into the NBA Morning Deuce for Tuesday, February.
Tricky one because it's 11:59, so I don't know, depending on how long the sentence goes.
Well, it's for Tuesday, February 23rd. Six-game slate to cover from Monday night. One game still in progress as we record. The Lakers are beating the Wizards, the hot Wizards, four in a row Wizards, 88-87 with 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter. So we will, one way or another, we will stick out this game because unless the Lakers just pull, unless one team or the other blows up the doors open and we don't need to. But as of right now, we will stick out this game to see what happens because this Wizards team is starting to get real interesting. We don't need to get into it now. Let's see how the game ends. But this Wizards team definitely starting to get real interesting. Got an alert earlier that we should talk about. A very interesting alert from Bleacher Report that the Dallas Mavericks are quietly, which I guess it's not quiet anymore because it just got alerted out, but that they have been quietly trying to gauge. League sources say Dallas has quietly sniffed around to gauge Kristaps Porzingis' trade value. So we should talk about that as well. After yesterday's bombshell that I'm still sort of getting over, I think it seems as though the rest of the NBA has pretty much gotten over the Ryan Saunders firing because people are just like, okay, Chris Finch, welcome to Minnesota. After yesterday, there really hasn't been much news today. Not a whole lot going on other than games, which is good. But we should talk about that Kristaps Porzingis thing. But I think most importantly, what we should start off with is you bought your first NBA Top Shot today.
I was wondering if you were going to team me up for that. My first NBA Top Shot. I figure if you're listening to this podcast, you probably have an inkling of what that is. You might have a better understanding of what it is than I do.
Definitely more than I do.
I got a Mitchell Robinson moment for $40. so we can track. For those of you who don't know, it's essentially a serial number that they dressed up with a little video clip. And it doesn't have any value, except that the $40 I paid for
it. And it's like backed by like blockchain.
Yes, yes. It was backed by blockchain, which I will pretend to understand what it means for the duration of this conversation.
Have you seen, so the company that the NBA partnered with for NBA Top Shot, Dapper, have you been on their website? Have you looked around?
Yes, I actually set up a Google alert for Dapper's IPO because this company looks like they could be really onto something.
Well, do you see so their whole thing is like blockchain games.
Yep.
So I was looking, they have like some wizard game on there and it's like a wizard battle. Like people are like doing like a wizard battle. The last person who won this wizard battle won like 700 Ethereum tokens, which is a lot of money.
Yeah, it's a crazy amount of money.
That's a lot of money. So like,
what are we even talking about? This is so crazy. Like 700 Ethereum token. That sentence doesn't even.
I know, but like this company, I don't understand what they're doing. And I was trying to figure out like, how do I get involved in this game? I couldn't understand it. Like I wanted to like get in the next one. I couldn't even comprehend what was happening on my screen. I just got a headache. Top Shot is much easier. You just.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense. It's digital trading cards.
Yes.
Exactly. That are backed by this company that has blockchain, crypto, whatever. Mm-hmm. And the values are, another LeBron Top Shot sold like yesterday for $200,000.
So I should add, and I don't want to spend too much more time on Top Shot, but it is pretty interesting.
I mean, it's the most popular thing in the NBA right now.
I actually got into a queue to buy a pack. So I bought a moment, but if you buy a pack for $14, that comes with three moments.
Today's drop was 14 because the drop from 2 days ago, they were $9.99.
Yeah, I think today's was 14. Don't quote me on that, but it was around there.
Must have been like a more rare pack.
Maybe, but I got into the queue. There was 5,000 packs available and I was 50,000th in the queue.
Yeah.
So I did not get the opportunity to buy one.
Well, one thing that happened yesterday that was very funny, or at least I don't know if it happened yesterday or the back and forth got posted by this person yesterday, but Josh Hart from the Pelicans, who is known for being a pretty weird and funny guy. Like he's the one who there's always videos of him like going for high fives with his teammates when they're not high fiving him. And he's just like putting his hand out and like shaking the air. Like that's like one of his things. Or like there was like the video that went around, like when James Harden slammed the ball really hard and it hit him in the face. And Josh Hart just walked by him and gave him this look like, what the hell is wrong with this guy? So Josh Hart tweeted like at NBA Top Shot, I'm trying to learn more. Like, what is this? And some dude, I don't know who this guy was. I guess he like responded to Josh Hart and was like, yo, I have one of your moments. If you want, I'll gift it to you so you can get started with your collection. And he was like, do you want it? And Josh Hart said, yep. And the guy gifted it to him. And then Josh Hart sold it the next day.
Wow. Do you know how much he made for it?
I have no idea. And then the guy was like, what the hell? You sold my gift. And then I don't think he ever heard from Josh Hart again.
Wow. This whole thing is fascinating to me. I have one last quick
thing. It's fine.
Before we started the pod, the cheapest possible moment or card you could get was Mason Plumlee at $25. That is now Bojan Bogdanovic has a $25 one. So again, I bought my Mitchell Robinson dunk for $40. We'll see what that's worth tomorrow. It'll be interesting.
I gotta wonder two things. One is, and I was talking to you about this earlier, how over the last few months, maybe the last year even, the actual physical trading card market has exploded. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if there's any correlation between that and now these Top Shots of, first of all, like a desperation from collectors that can't get cards anymore. Because I went at one point when I first moved back to Florida, I went to Target, like when I was like, like decorating my new apartment and stuff and getting stuff. I was at like Target and noticed like, oh, there's all these basketball cards. And back when you're a kid and you collect basketball cards, you always want to buy boxes. Or at least this is how my thing went, was like, I would go with my dad. Like, I want to buy a box. No, you can't buy a box. You can buy one pack. right? Every time, like we go once, maybe once every couple of weeks, buy one pack. Now I'm an adult making good money. I'm like, I'm going to buy all the boxes. I have like multiple Luka Doncic rookies, which actually I think are pretty valuable at this point.
You should price those out. That's
I have like multiple Trae Young rookies. I told you I have a Michael Porter jersey card. These are from, because when I moved back 2 years ago, they were rookies and these were the boxes that were out. I recently took a Sunday and drove around to like six or seven Targets and Walmarts. Can't get cards anywhere. They're literally nowhere. The only way you can buy cards at this point, like boxes of cards, is on the internet, and they're way more expensive. So I wonder if there's a correlation between Top Shot becoming super expensive, and then you combine it with the fact that crypto now is just this thing. Everyone's trying to get in on the next thing. And it was just like this melding of worlds that it's exploded.
Mm-hmm. And I got to think COVID ties into it, just with people being stuck in their houses and just our whole world is digital. I'm about to offload my emotions to the cloud if I get around to it. I'm sick of this stuff, you know. Just digitize everything, dude.
Yeah, it's called the singularity. You're just
I'm close. I think.
Upload your consciousness. Time I
yeah.
All right, let's talk about basketball, I guess.
Okay. Well, I mean, this is a derivative of basketball.
No, it's good. I mean, Top Shot, it's literally everywhere. I mean, every time I go on Twitter now, there's another player like out there trying to find out like what. Now the next thing that's interesting is like LaMelo Ball today was tweeting like in response to the LeBron card going for, or the LeBron Top Shot going for 200,000, was like, how much of that goes to LeBron? And you were saying you think that there's something baked in with the league that like goes to part of their revenue, but I don't know.
I did not fact check that, but I heard from a buddy who's usually pretty knowledgeable that there is a share goes to the league and the players for all these transactions.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
The whole thing's fascinating. It's insane how valuable these things are already, but it is fascinating. Maybe I'll buy one soon.
When I get my
little stimmy check.
Ooh, you can get a nice Mitchell Robinson dunk for $50 that I've listed on the market.
I will not be buying a Mitchell Robinson dunk. At least not until he comes back from injury.
Okay.
And from what you're telling me, not that one has anything to do with the other in terms of value.
I mean, I guess if it's like... I mean, the value all depends on if it's rare or not. And I think there's like 15,000 of these things in circulation. I don't really know.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about these games. By the way, just as an update, as we're doing this, at least on my end, with 7.5 minutes left, the Lakers and the Wizards are tied 94-94.
Yep. That's what I've got.
Let's start, though, with there's five other games that are done from tonight. And I would like to start with Phoenix Portland. That game, after the first quarter in that game, Devin Booker had 17 in the first quarter. Damian Lillard had 11. And I actually tweeted out, I was like, this is going to be an electric duel, like back and forth all night. And then Damian Lillard just, in the second half, something happened and he just looked totally out of it. He got hurt at one point. It wasn't like an injury, but he was limping, never the same. And Phoenix just... I mean, they just rolled. They are the hottest team in the NBA right now. They've won 12 of 14. They've won 9 of their last 10. And Devin Booker is looking like Bubble Booker.
Ooh, Bubble Booker. I love that.
Bubble Booker is a good name. And I was thinking, like, should I try to make Bubble Booker a thing? But then also I realized, like, this guy had 70 points in a game once. Like,
He's not a gimmick player. Yeah,
he's not like a bubble gimmick. Like, Jamal Murray, Bubble Jamal Murray is a thing. Mm-hmm. To me, like that
there's
was
no alliteration with Bubble and Murray, so it doesn't work.
Bubble TJ Warren was a thing. Devin Booker had 70 points in a game, so there's, like you said, that's a perfect reason. It's not a gimmick. Like this guy is just a flat out star, and he's a scorer, and he's a max player for a reason. It has taken him a while this year. It's every now and then, but I think part of it is just like we've talked about, they're just so good this year and have the potential to be so good. He doesn't have to get 34 every night.
Yeah, and I do think this hot streak, I'd have to go back and check, but it does coincide a little bit with him, his numbers increasing, his scoring numbers for sure.
Definitely scoring more. And Frank Kaminsky back in the starting lineup. That's key.
I mean, that's huge. He gets 12 minutes. Really weird. I mean, this has got to be one of Chris Paul's worst games in a long time. He was 1-for-9 for 2 points, but it doesn't matter because this team plays so well together. Like, it's one of those teams that has star power, but their other pieces seem to fit really well. I love Cam Johnson, like really love his game. Dario Saric is back. He's been back for a little bit. dude, though, and I watched the highlights of this game. I'm amazed that the Blazers have 18 wins with how unbelievably bad Enes Kanter and basically their interior defenses in general. Like,
he's awful. He's always like, been so awful.
Yeah. I know it's not a revelation to say Enes Kanter is really bad at defense, but he is like visibly not trying. Like, it's pathetic. Yeah. He's just out. It's terrible. So that goes even more to what Dame is doing. To have this team 18 and 12, maybe 18 and 13 after tonight, I forget. To have them at the 4 or 5 seed is incredible.
This game, watching that, I watched a lot of it. I turned it off once it was like a massive blowout. But the third quarter struck me as like, there was a point where the Suns went on a little bit of a run and Portland was just like over it.
Yeah.
Like, actually, like the epitome of the Blazers was the Suns. I forgot what the score was at the end of the third quarter, but I think it was like 100. It was like 100. Phoenix outscored Portland 37-17 in the third quarter. And I think the score at the end of the third quarter, they were up by like 30. But Phoenix hit a three with 2 seconds left to give them 97 points. Robert Covington takes the ball out. Dame Lillard's just standing there. He's just standing there like, give me the ball. We'll run out the clock. And instead of giving him the ball, he tries to like quarterback, like dart a pass the length of the court. I don't even know who it was going to, because it went over everybody's head and went out of bounds. And it was a turnover. So Phoenix gets the ball back under their own basket because that's where the pass came from. And with 2 seconds left, they just inbounded to Cam Johnson, who's standing by himself, and he hits a three.
Wow. That's
that was like the epitome of how this game went for Portland in the second half.
That's rough.
But to Phoenix's credit, like I think it was, at least when I was looking at before, was like Phoenix was -6.5. And I was like, come on, dude, like Portland's playing good basketball, right? Mm-hmm. 6.5 is a big number for the way Portland's playing, but
That's a remarkable little segue there, because I was going to mention this game is significant in that coming into tonight, the top three teams in the league against the spread all won and all covered the spread tonight. And Phoenix is one of them. They moved to 20-10. I mean, they're 20-10 on the year and they're 20-10 against the spread, which is actually pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
They're second in the league. I mean, easy cover for them tonight.
Yeah. I mean, that was, I didn't expect it but I mean, that's also like that drop off for Portland is sort of what I'm anticipating eventually has to happen for the Wizards, because mm-hmm. you have one guy who's just night in and night out carrying you to these wins. It's not sustainable, especially when you start playing against great teams teams that could be great.
Yeah.
So Phoenix more and more starting to look like the team that we said at the beginning of the year might be the second best team in mm-hmm. the West. Still not, I guess, probably at this point. Look at Washington pulling away.
I know. I was
Washington's up 8 with 4.5 minutes left.
Wow.
Unbelievable. It's saving Scotty Brooks. How about that? I mean, that's mm-hmm. this run is probably saving him big time. So good win for Phoenix. Not really terrible. I mean, until Portland gets everyone back, it's hard to gauge what they are. It's just, like you said, it is super impressive what Dame's done, at least up to this point this year. I'm guessing one of the teams that you were talking about that is leading the league against the spread has got to be the Jazz.
Yes, that is correct. I was gonna quiz you on that. They're number one, predictably.
If three of the teams played tonight, there's only 6 games.
Yeah, so. The third one I think you're going to be surprised about, but the Jazz are the best.
Yeah, well, the Jazz, so this game Charlotte was winning most of this game. So here's what's my biggest takeaway from this game with Utah is they're starting to do now. They won 132-110. 4 different players scored 20, 7 players scored in double figures. But what they're doing now is they're doing that thing that great teams do, which is, you know, close game, close game, close game, close game. And then you blink and you're up by 30. Mm-hmm. The game, I think it was a 1-point game at the end of the third quarter. And then with 9 or 10 minutes left in the fourth, they were up by like 25. And it happened just like that. And Charlotte was in the mix pretty much the whole game until that point. Utah just was like, all right, done fucking around. Mm-hmm. Let's start playing. And they just destroyed the team that they're supposed to destroy. And that's a scary thing for that's the type of thing that when you're talking about a team that everyone's still kind of on the fence, like, are they this good? Are they not? Those type of games to me are the things that get a team like that over the hump in terms of whether they're going from good to great. Like, can you just turn it like what the Lakers have been doing against teams a lot of times, which is like coast and then all of a sudden they're up 20. And Utah doing that shows me a lot about what this team really is.
Yeah, that's a good point. I actually hadn't really considered that, but I mean, they're just so consistent. Like, they don't have bad quarters, entire bad quarters, you know, and Charlotte hangs in there and then Charlotte puts up a crappy fourth quarter and ends up getting destroyed because Utah just doesn't stop. They're that good. And they're that their continuity is so outstanding that, I mean, these guys, their core has played together so much. Mm-hmm. And it shows, and they look absolutely deadly right now.
Look at the 3-point shooting, 28 or 55. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And George Niang, 7 of 7 from the field, 7 of 7 from three. Slow Mo Joe, 7 of 10 from three. Jordan, that's just off the bench. Off the bench. Yeah, that's outrageous. Off the bench, they got 19 threes.
That is probably an NBA record if I had to guess. I bet you
that's interesting. I should have looked that up. I didn't even really put it together before we started looking at this, but 19 threes off their bench. And not even like 19, and they took a lot of threes. They went 19 of 27, those three guys. That is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I like this guy, Niang. He plays a decent amount of minutes for them. He's pretty good, man.
Yeah.
Like, he's a good guy to just have coming off your bench to play spot minutes.
Jeez, 7 threes in 16 minutes is outrageous. That is incredible.
Yeah, unreal. This team, they've become one of the more fun teams to watch too, because they're not just like over the years, they've been a good defensive team. I mean, offensive team, but it's always been like, all right, they're going to grind you down. They're going to run their sets, but really they're going to win with defense. And then Donovan Mitchell is going to take over to win games. But they're just like an all-around fun. Like, they just shoot the ball well. They move the ball well, and they play pretty good defense still. Not as good as in years past. Still very good, like probably top five in the league still. But their offense is where it's just taking a whole different jump this year. It's pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else on the gambling thing for them?
No, just that their actual record is actually better than their record against the spread. They advanced to 23-8 against the spread on the season. But is this a record for threes in a game? 28?
It's pretty close.
Yeah. Okay.
Been set this year.
Yeah, it definitely has. And I'm seeing a headline saying they set the record for threes, but I'm wondering if that's a franchise record or not.
I can search it real quick. I was going to ask you, do you have a way of looking like how often they've covered when they've been a 10-point favorite or more? Cause they were 12-point favorite in this.
I don't, I have like, I can look up their record against the spread when they're a favorite, but I am not advanced enough.
Got
to it. The point where I'm like, just that big of a favorite. It is interesting.
The record, as far as I can tell right now, is 29 by Milwaukee against the Heat in December.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we remember. So this must have been a franchise record.
And, or maybe and, the one-off and then and then the Rockets did it this month. They did it February 1st. They got 28.
Okay. All right. I remember second most
in NBA history.
Right. Insane.
Both happened this season. Mm-hmm. Which is pretty wild. Damn, the Heat lost 144-97 this year. I don't even remember that. It seems
because that was a day after the Clippers lost by 50, and we were saying you can't lose by 50. You just can't lose. And the Heat missed it by a couple of points.
I totally forgot about that. I forgot that even took place. Wow. For the Hornets, got a note. Gordon Hayward got hurt. Again, and it didn't look good. He went down in the second half. He hurt I saw some people reporting hand, some people reporting wrist. Either way, it was his shooting hand, which is the same hand that he had a fractured finger earlier in the year. And he, I mean, he couldn't play. He went to the locker room. He didn't come back. He looked like he was in a lot of pain. This guy's just super on. He can't catch a break, this guy.
Yeah.
Ever since he snapped his ankle in half, it seems like he just can't catch a break, period. Like, he's just injury prone, and it's not even related. He just keeps getting hurt. It sucks.
It does.
And because they're a fun team.
Yeah. And they're definitely a playoff contender with him. And I mean,
everyone is in the East. But yeah, for sure.
That would really suck if he has to miss an extended period of time.
Yep. And then the other thing I would bring up, well, I should point out, your boy had a good game, Malik Monk.
Malik Monk, 20 spot. Points.
But LaMelo Ball, who I love, and I've talked about on the show already how what his upside is. And I think everyone other than you at this point pretty much is on the LaMelo Ball train. But he did for the second time, at least that I've seen this year in this game, he drove on Mike Conley and scored at the rim, and then did the little thing where he says, like, oh, he like puts his hand like too small.
Mm-hmm.
Just, dude, it's just stupid.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and then like of all, like, it is like the heat of the moment, but you just seem like a petulant a little bit at that point. It's like, it's Mike Conley, dude.
Yeah.
I think the guy like wins awards.
Most respected guy.
Yeah. He like wins awards for being just not like, he wins the nice guy award every year. Mm-hmm. Like, and you ended up getting your ass beat.
Like, right. That's destroyed. The big, you lost by 22, man. Come on.
I mean, at the time when it happened, they were winning or there was a close game, but like, yeah, there's more important things to be concerned about than like celebrating by saying Mike Conley's too small. Cause also Mike Conley is not small.
Mm-hmm.
You're just freakishly tall for a point guard. Yeah. He's 6'8". Every point guard's too small. Every like true point guard's too small. It's just dumb. I don't like it. I don't mind guys celebrating and stuff, but like taunting for no reason and then getting your ass beat.
That's like, yeah, that's really the big part of it, is getting your ass kicked. And it's also just a shitty look.
But he is like, I mean, he is a child. I mean, he is still like
almost literally 19.
Yeah, he's literally a child, but he is 19. Very good. Oh man, look at this. Lakers tied it up 111-111 with a minute left.
Wow.
Brad Beal time.
I have no way of watching it, so you might have to do some play by play if it gets to crunch time.
You don't have NBA TV?
I don't have it set up at the moment, and this friggin' app stinks.
Oh, your boy Avdija. Corner three to take the lead, 114-111, with 51 seconds remaining.
Top shot. I wonder if he has a top shot card, because I'm
sure that was a top shot right there. There's a top shot moment coming in this game. I could just feel it.
Okay. Malik Monk does not have one. That's why I bring
it up. Someone tweeted out asking if Russell Westbrook's airballed layup from this game is going to be a top shot moment.
I bet you that'll be like its own series, will be like bloopers.
Like Shaq and a Fool's.
Yeah, someone will pay an exorbitant amount of money for like somebody traveling.
I would 100% throw like $15 to get a Russell Westbrook airballing a layup.
Well, you can't, because the cheapest card's $25. So.
Yeah, but what about turnover? Like, turnovers might be.
We'll see.
Cheaper. I think that's it from this Hornets game. But yeah, it's unfortunate because they have a lot of guys like playing their best basketball. They're competitive and they're fun. Like, everyone loves this team. This is like the league pass team this year, or one of them. There's another one that I'm going to talk about in a second, but this one is one of like the darlings of the league, but Hayward just can't stay healthy. There was I forgot what outlet it was. He's like talking for the first time that I've ever seen this. It's like a full like feature about how Michael Jordan made every right decision this offseason, which does not happen often, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully Hayward's not bad. We'll see if there's any updates. As this game winds down to an end, we'll get to that in a second. Speaking of the Heat, one of the hottest teams in the Eastern Conference. They beat the Thunder. I mean, they won 108-94. So it looks like they beat them pretty handily, but they did
it. Dicey there.
I'd say the only word that I can truly use to like accurately describe the Heat's offense is just anemic. It's not
good. That's a good word.
It's not good. It's just not good. Right at the moment, it's not good. And even on the broadcast, finally on the broadcast, John Crotty, who's the color guy, was calling out Jimmy Butler, just like too passive. Mm-hmm. When you drive to the basket, go just score. Like score, especially in a game like this. I didn't end up winning, but it was because of their defense. They held OKC to 94 points. Like 108 against the Thunder is not good.
No.
And Jimmy
without
Butler,
Al Horford, they didn't even have right. Al Horford. Like
Jimmy Butler takes 11 shots. He gets to the line 9 times. He can literally get to the line anytime he wants. All right, I got to focus on the end of this game.
Set the scene here.
So there was a jump ball. Lakers got it with 20-something seconds left. LeBron went to the rack. It is 114-113 with 15 seconds left. Washington, did they get fouled or did they call timeout? It looks like the Lakers fouled them. So Russell Westbrook is at the line with 16 seconds left. Washington's up 114-113. I think this game's going on. I'm calling it right now. I'm saying this game's going overtime.
Okay.
What do you think?
I'm slightly ahead of you on the in terms of this the game cast.
Russell Westbrook misses the first free throw.
So I can see the score, but not the game.
Oh, so the score already updated?
Yeah.
Did? Well, anyways, on my end, with 15.9 seconds left, Russell Westbrook has one free throw to put the Wizards up by 2. So we'll see. But yeah, the Jimmy Butler thing, it's pretty, it's just glaring. Like even their own color guys are calling it out. Wizards up 2, timeout. Lakers. Even their own guys are calling out like, dude, you got to just score, especially Tyler Hero sits out again with this hip issue, which we don't know how bad it is, but this is either the second or third game that he sat. Goran Dragic still not playing. So this is two of your three best scoring options, not playing. The offense looks terrible. You can barely score against the Thunder. Just go now. And I understand the excuse that like the announcers made a lot of the game, which is, oh, it's the seventh game of a 7-game road trip. This is always the hardest game. They look tired. That's I get it. That's a very valid thing. That's a real thing. Traveling and staying in hotels and last game and this and that. But it was really, to me, it was Jimmy Butler who looked bad. Everyone else looked like they were doing what they do. I mean, Jimmy Butler just looked out of it. And it's that can't have this year in the Eastern Conference with everyone's just sort of up and down. That can't happen consistently. Jimmy Butler's got to play well every night for the Heat. It just has to happen. They win this game because they're playing one of the worst teams in the NBA. Play any other good team, they lose this game.
That's what I was going to say in terms of not really being with that, last game of a road trip. Like you've dug this hole for yourself in the standings. Like you can't come out lazy or unmotivated against one of the worst teams in the league. You need this win. Games for the Heat against bad teams.
Here we go. 10-second LeBron, and LeBron gets fouled, oh my god. That was a weak foul, but LeBron gets an and one. He's going to the free throw line with 9.8 seconds left. So it's tied. LeBron's going to the line with 10 seconds left. Yeah, I agree with you. It can't happen. There's more positives than negatives. The negative of this game is there's two negatives to me. One is Jimmy Butler not aggressive, and Kelly Olynyk still stinks, and they desperately still need to get another 4. The positive, especially just in particular coming off of this road trip, is LeBron missed the free throw.
Wow. So it's 115 all with
115, 9 seconds left, Wizards ball.
Did they call a timeout or something?
Yeah, they call a timeout. The positive coming out of the positives coming, at least out of this game, Duncan Robinson went 6 of 13 from 3, which is desperately needed because he hasn't been shooting the ball well. And Kendrick Nunn has been, he basically put the Heat on his back in this, on this trip. I tweeted out a stat after the last game, and it's obviously changed now because he went 3 for 9 from 3. But before, as of the sixth game of this road trip, he was shooting 42 point something percent from three, and everyone else on the team was shooting 28% from three.
Wow, that's wild.
He had 20 again tonight, career high 9 assists. Like, he's playing the way he played at the beginning of last year when he was a rookie of the year leader.
I was going to say, he's one of the most variable players in the league, in the sense of, like, when he's playing well, he's very, very good. And then he's just so bad when he doesn't have it going on. Like, there's no in between with him.
Well, it seems like last year he hit like this wall where he totally lost his confidence. And then he got benched in the playoffs, which is understandable because Goran Dragic was playing out of his mind. But now it looks like he has the confidence back. And he knows, I think what happens a lot of times too with young guys is, like, when your minutes fluctuate, your confidence goes, and you don't know that you're going to get minutes, you don't know you're going to get shots, your confidence fluctuates. But now, because of the way this team is, he's going to play. He's one of their best individual scoring options on the team right now. He's going to play. So I think it's showing he's confident. He's just going and getting it.
Led them in minutes tonight. I'm looking at the box score right now. 41.
All right, here we go. Brad Beal, 9 seconds, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4. Top shot moment. Overtime. I told you. I called him.
Well, what happened?
He missed. Well, obviously he missed the.
I know. But
he missed the jumper.
Waiting for, like, you know, short or long.
No.
Air ball.
It was short. It was rims short. Rim, it hit the front rim, step back. He kind of bobbled it. So he drove pick and roll. He drove left. He had the move. Like, he had KCP one-on-one, got to the left elbow, stepped back. And he kind of looked like he kind of bobbled the ball a little bit. And if he would have cleanly got the step back, it might have been a better shot. But he still got a good look. For Brad Beal, it was about as good of a look as you're going to get at the end of the game. So
part of me wants to live bet Lakers right here. It feels like that's the Wizards' chance, and the Lakers are going to stomp them in overtime. But
yeah, I don't know. Lakers just haven't been playing great basketball without AD, so we'll see.
The economy is made up of real people doing real stuff, and it affects everything. Which you obviously know, since you're a real person doing real stuff. Marketplace is here to help you get smart about everything beyond the what of the day's business and economic news. We dig into the how and the why with the real people driving our economy. From big tech and interest rates to small businesses and what's happening at the Fed, Marketplace breaks it all down so you don't have to. Listen to Marketplace wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah.
So those are back to the Heat. Those are the positives for the Heat. I mean, Kendrick Nunn in particular, like, this is, it's huge for them that he's playing well, because I mean, somebody's got to score for this team. Somebody has to consistently be a scoring option with all the injuries too. Tyler Hero's up and down. Goran Dragic has been up, healthy, not healthy. This is a huge thing for them. And now, with all that being said, with them losing to the Clippers without Kawhi and PG, then blowing that huge lead to the Warriors, right? Losing three in a row. Now they win three in a row. They come off this road trip, the 7-game road trip, the longest road trip they've had in a decade, by the way, 4-3. They've won 7 of their last 10. And then they play the Raptors, who are hot, on Wednesday. If they win that and they win 4 in a row, they somehow have a shot to go into All-Star break as one of the hotter teams in the East. With everything that's happened with that team, it's pretty crazy.
It's remarkable. But I have a feeling you still believe they need to make a move, right?
There's no question.
Gotta make a move.
No. Well, there's no question, but almost every team in the East to compete with what the Nets have. If you're a team in the East and you're looking at the way the Nets are playing and what they have the capability of doing, you can never be satisfied with what your roster is. Regardless of what the Nets are, I would say Kelly Olynyk is just not the answer for any team as a starting four.
Yeah.
And I find myself every game I watch now saying, oh man, that guy, like today I was watching Thunder and I'm like, Mike Muscala would be pretty good for the Heat. Like,
oh boy, that's bottom of the barrel. I mean,
he's having the best year of his career.
Yeah.
He's on a bad team, but he's shooting the ball well. I just mean from like,
that just tells you how bad Kelly Olynyk's playing.
But that's not even the thing. It's not even that Kelly Olynyk is that bad. He's streaky. And I would also say this, they were 3-0 on this trip when he made a three, just one three.
Interesting.
Which shows you he had a bunch of games where he didn't make any threes, which is, he shoots a lot of threes because he is their stretch four. And I'm not saying Mike Muscala. And then like when I watch the Kings, I'm like, man, Bielitsa would be really good for them. And I'm not even saying like, oh, these guys would play 30 minutes a game. I'm just saying from a depth so that Kelly Olynyk doesn't have to play major minutes.
Yeah, that'd be better.
And they also need somebody who can defend. And I think the Laker game was a glaring reason. When you look at the Bam just absolutely shut down LeBron. And if somehow they were to play the Lakers again, I think if you could get a four who could guard AD, and maybe it's Precious, but that lineup doesn't offensively doesn't look good, and Precious can't guard AD. But Bam was great against LeBron. So that was interesting too. So are they the other team? Are they the other spread team?
No, they're not. They're actually horrible against the spread, I think.
Yeah, well, they've been pretty horrible all year. Yeah,
they're bottom three in the league. The Heat are. Oklahoma City's not bad against the spread.
By the way, Washington's up two off of a Russell Westbrook mid-range jumper. Just what you want. Love to come those. Out first play in overtime.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Heat have just been bad. Tie game, LeBron, of course. All right. Two other games that happened tonight. Let's talk about Chicago. That's my other league pass team. I watched basically the whole game up until they blow the doors open and then I switched to another game. But man, this is that one team that every year there's like that team, and last year was the Pacers, and this year it could be the Pacers too. There's that team that, like, if they make the playoffs, you absolutely I wouldn't want to play this team in the playoffs. This is that team. They have a crazy, and obviously we've talked about them a little bit, but I don't think I've sat and watched 48 minutes of the Bulls yet. I've watched like quarters and like halves, but I mean, they're long, they're athletic. They have a good mix of like Garrett Temple, Satoransky, Thaddeus Young, mixed with great young like Kobe White, Zach LaVine, Wendell Carter, Patrick Williams, who looks like he's going to be an absolute lockdown two-way player. And then you combine that with the fact that Zach LaVine is just he's got the upside of any player. There's very few guys, if any, that have the upside offensively that he has. He's like right up there with any of the young scoring guards in the league in terms of his offensive upside. This team, they're playing better than they should. They're in the playoffs as of right now. They're the 8th seed. And they're scary, man. Any team should be scared of them. I think Alex just froze, or I froze on Alex's end. Oh, there he is. Welcome back, Alex. I lost you there for a second. I thought you were just so like blown away by the point I was making about the Bulls that you literally froze.
Well, here's what's crazy. Is that I was planning to talk a lot about the Bulls tonight, and you hit on every single point I was going to make. Like, we're on the same page about the Bulls. It's pretty remarkable. So maybe you just jammed up my whole internet with...
I jammed up your hole?
My internet. Oh. My whole internet. Jammed up my whole
internet. This is not that kind of podcast, Alex.
Sorry. So what we were talking about singularity earlier. Maybe you, me, and these two machines all achieved some sort of four-way singularity. And it,
four ways now you're talking about?
That's
what's happening on this podcast.
We've been doing this podcast for how long? You've never lost me in cyberspace. It's no, true. Everything you just said about the Bulls, I agree with. I missed like the last 10 seconds of it. But
you're freezing up again. I can't tell if it's on your end or my end.
That was clean as the whistle on my end.
Yeah, well, it froze up on my end.
Maybe it's both of us.
This podcast is going down the tubes real quick.
Could be our best one. I don't know.
It could be. Well, I mean, that whole joke I just made was pretty good. So I'm sure I'll get a text about that from somebody.
How about this? To wrap up our Chicago point, they are the number three team in the NBA against the spread at 19-12. They are against the spread darlings.
Huh. Interesting. I did not bet that game tonight because the Rockets had lost seven in a row and Chicago was -1. And I was like,
yeah,
I got to snap out of it eventually, but Houston's a mess, dude.
I know they really are.
They haven't won a game since Christian Wood got hurt, by the way.
That's horrible. That's telling. Is he the MVP? Just kidding.
He might be,
but which is so up.
Brad, speaking of MVP. All right. Well, yeah, you know, they've lost eight in a row now, I think. Lots of injuries. Victor Oladipo hasn't been playing. Obviously, Christian Wood hasn't been playing. I don't know if at some point, do they shut down John Wall later in the year to try to get a better draft pick? Like, I will say this, there are still odds out on who will be the next coach fired. And Steven Silas is very low on the list. So I think there's like an understanding that this was going to be that kind of year.
Given a plate of shit, honestly.
I don't care. After what happened with Ryan Saunders, anything's possible.
I mean, that would be beyond classless.
I like feel like I've seen it all now in terms of coaching situations. But yeah, so they're a mess. I'm not really sure what the path forward is other than them continuing to just lose games. PJ Tucker probably got to be gone soon. Mm-hmm. And they still haven't parted ways with Boogie yet. I'm assuming that's coming soon too.
Yeah. Bet you they get like a second rounder for Boogie or something.
I will say the one positive for this team this year, at least, is Jayshon Tate.
Yeah.
He's been really good for them. I don't know if it's because they're bad and he's playing good on a bad team, but I like that. I've been talking about him all year. I really like him.
I haven't seen much of him, but just tonight watching the highlights, he had like a crazy flip over his head. Like he wasn't even looking at the basket. And he's fun to watch.
I mean, he's only 6'4", but he's built like a tank 6'4". And he can guard multiple positions. He's a decent shooter. 2 for 4 tonight. I think he's shooting somewhere in like the low 30s from three, which is obviously not great, but he's an undrafted rookie who's starting. I mean, it's pretty.
He'll take that.
Yeah. So that's good. 125, 124, 17 seconds left. Wizards have the ball. Wizards are up one. And Russell Westbrook just threw a horrendous pass.
He turned it over with the ball.
I don't know what's happening. Oh, they called a foul. Whew. That is a bailout. He tried to throw a lob up to like Robin Lopez. And
a lob up one with 14 seconds left?
And Robin Lopez and Rui Hachimura were in. Oh. He's like, okay. So he throws the ball up and it's for Rui Hachimura. But Robin Lopez is standing right there and thinks it's for him, gets fouled, is on the floor. And Russ is like, what are you doing? That's not for you. As if Robin Lopez is supposed to know that you threw it to it right in the vicinity of a 7-footer. What's he supposed to do at that point? So I think this is a foul. I don't have the sound on, so I don't know. Oh, they're reviewing it.
Great.
Yeah. Something that the NBA is definitely going to get right. A review at the end of a Laker game.
In a reasonable amount of time as well.
Right. So, well, that gives us time to hit this Grizzlies game. Grizzlies-Dallas. Dallas wins 102-92. Dallas doesn't look great, but Memphis has just been awful without Dylan the Villain Brooks.
They scored 36 points in the first half. That's so bad. They need Dylan Brooks, dude.
No, he's the only one not playing.
I know.
Like they had a couple games ago where a bunch of guys were out, but tonight the only guy that didn't play was Dylan the Villain. And look awful. I mean, they're just falling off a cliff without the Villain.
He looks like a certain Disney villain.
He does. Well, we'll unleash that when the time comes. But yeah, Memphis, obviously very alarming that they can't win without Dylan Brooks.
Yeah, maybe the most average player. Like when you talk about like numbers above replacement, like it's basically Dylan Brooks. Like he's baseline NBA player.
When you look up VORP,
yeah,
that's his pictures right there.
Yeah,
this and like when you go to the Basketball Reference glossary, and they like are explaining it. This stat was created to define players like Dylan Brooks.
Mm-hmm. He's just your baseline guy.
Yeah. I guess the big story out of this game is the rumor that the Mavs are potentially gauging Kristaps Porzingis. He did not play back spasms. And he obviously we've talked about on this show a ton about how he doesn't look healthy. He doesn't look like he's healthy. It would be unbelievable if they traded Porzingis with the hype around this team, them going and getting him to pair with Luka from the Knicks. Like what an, oh, wow. 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 Lakers biggest no that you can do in basketball. Side out of bounds with 14 seconds left. Russell Westbrook inbounding the ball. They have basically three guys paying attention to Brad Beal. So he can't inbound it. So Bertans is wide open and no one guards Russell Westbrook. And he just cuts right to the basket, gets a foul and an and one. They're about to be up four.
If he makes the free throw.
Well, they're up three and he has a free throw. But either way, they didn't guard the inbounder, which is the most dangerous. Like, you have to guard. Somebody's got to pick up the inbounder. Missed the free throw. No timeout for the Lakers. LeBron pulls up from the Staples Center logo, misses. Kuzma, rebound, misses. Game over.
Wow.
Wizards win 127-124.
The Wizards are hot.
Five in a row Wizards now. Five in a row. But anyway, but just to put a bow on the Mavericks thing, we'll see what happens. We'll see if that's even a real thing, but it would be pretty unbelievable after everything that they'd give up to get Porzingis and bringing him in to try and really just the state of where his career is at if he gets traded, because it's kind of sad for a guy who seemed like the future of the position.
Yeah, it sucks. And I just don't think the Mavericks would make this move if they felt like health-wise he was going to get back to where, you know, he was. Because they know more than anybody about his health and where he's at. So that's really concerning.
Yeah. I mean, although, you know, hopefully, maybe sometimes change of scenery does it for a guy. I can't see where he'd be in a better situation than where he's at now.
And they were really good when he was playing well last year, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know, man. We'll see what happens with that. Who knows if it's real? First, we got to see if it's even a real thing. Mm-hmm. All right. So the Wizards just beat the Lakers. They've now won five in a row. They remain. That puts them at 11-17. They're still in the 13th seed, but they are still two losses in the loss column. They've played less games than most teams behind the Raptors, who are the fifth seed. They're three losses behind the Pacers, who are the four seed. So here's the question. I told you I was going to pose this question if the Wizards won this game. At what point, if they play their way back into the playoffs, is Brad Beal back? Is Brad Beal vaulted into the MVP discussion? Leading the league in scoring, taking a team that looked basically futile for most of the season, trade rumors, is he going to be gone? All this stuff, just keeps doing his thing, professional, leads the league in scoring, and look like legitimately the way they're playing. They are, like we say with every team in the East, they're a playoff contender now. Mm-hmm. At what point is he at least in the conversation? If they're a playoff team by All-Star, is he in the conversation?
I think once they get back to 500, if they can get back to 500, then maybe
you don't have to be 500 probably this year to make the playoffs.
I know. I just can you give the MVP to a team that loses more games than it's won? I don't know. I know that's like arbitrary or whatever, but for me, you got to be 500 or better to be in the MVP conversation. But that doesn't diminish the unbelievable numbers the guy's putting up.
I'll say this too. I would be shocked if this continues, by the way, then they're legit. And I'll tell you why. This five-game win streak, Boston, Houston, who stinks, Denver, at Portland, at the Lakers. But now their last six games before All-Star, at the Clippers, at the Nuggets, at home versus the T-Wolves, who are going to be on the honeymoon phase of a new coach, at Boston, versus Memphis, versus the Clippers. I'll tell you what, if they even get out of that 3-3, right, and finish, you know, if they can finish before All-Star break at 14-20 after the way they started their season.
Yeah, things are looking up.
Remarkable.
Yeah. I have to think someone has had a talk, or just maybe Russell Westbrook and Scottie Brooks have come to an agreement that he needs to shoot way less threes, and it seems to be working better for everybody.
Oh, there he goes. Froze again. Okay, now he's back. So wait. You're saying that you think that they made a concerted. It seems like you're probably right about them making a concerted effort about Russ not taking threes. But that doesn't forgive the fact that he was 6 of 12 from the free throw line. His game's probably over in regulation if he can make a free throw.
I mean, you still want him getting the line, I think. You just need him to also make them. Yeah.
12 times, yeah. By the way, he had 32, 14, and 9. Like, that's vintage Russ.
I know. I know. His numbers are always just ridiculous. But
also, Brad Beal recently said Russell Westbrook's the best teammate he's ever had.
People love Russell Westbrook. People absolutely love that guy when they play for him, with him.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, this just makes us look good. We had this team being very good at the beginning of the year. Now they're playing very good. So let's see what happens. Are we panicked about the Lakers? Three in a row now. They've lost.
The only thing I'm panicked about is the possibility of AD being on the shelf for next. Like, that's what my panic is about, you know, because I, without him, they're not the Lakers to me.
Let me ask you this. At what, like, what first round matchup scares you to the point where they could potentially, like, for example, we say this about the Lakers, like, even with Anthony Davis, right? But we say this about the Lakers where we're like, oh, seeding doesn't matter for this team. But like, if they fall to five and they have to play
the Nuggets,
or they fall to like five or six and have to play the Clippers or the Suns or something.
Yeah, that would concern me for sure without Anthony Davis. Or you,
no, oh, even with Anthony Davis. At what point, like, what if they fall to six and the Clippers are three? Like, couldn't they lose to the Clippers?
They could. I mean, they could. But I don't.
With Anthony Davis.
I don't think they would. I'd still take the Lakers in that series, but it's, yeah. I mean, of course. They could. It's not
good. That's what I'm saying. Like, people are consistently saying, like, you got to keep Anthony Davis out, which you do. He has to be healthy. Seeding doesn't matter for this team because if Anthony Davis is healthy, and I agree, they are the best team in the league. They should beat anybody. But there does come to a point where, like, you got to win these games. You don't want to fall out of the top four, I would imagine.
You definitely don't want to. I guess the discussion is then, can you win a championship with AD at 90%? Probably.
Yes.
Yeah. But I think you, if you can get him back to 100%, that's what you do. Even if your seed takes a hit, if I'm making
decisions. Even without it, my problem is my only concern, and it's not a huge concern, but my real concern is, well, they still don't have Schroeder either, but even without those guys, you got to beat these teams. Yeah. You got to beat the Heat. You got to beat the Wizards. I don't know who the third team was that they lost to on this run, but like you got to beat these teams, and maybe they just the Nets. I mean, obviously, with no KD, but still. But you got to beat these teams without Anthony Davis. They've lost four or five. It's we'll see. Maybe they just need the break to get here and regroup. Mm-hmm. And rest.
I mean, like you said, they're doing a lot of different things when you lose Anthony Davis. You know what I mean? So maybe they,
especially
think they're this bad without him. But
yeah, so we'll see. All right, let's wrap this up before your computer freezes again. We'll be back tomorrow. Subscribe, rate, and review. Later.